Please be seated. So as Simon said, when you came in, Andre, we've given you your hymn books and a little copy of this rotary. It's obviously not the book, but it is giving you a little taster. And it, we're going to start by reading on page 4, well, I will read, the little quote from his book about baptism. So it's on page 4, under this wonderfully dramatic picture of someone clinging onto a cross being baptized. Baptism is a ceremony in which we are washed, cleansed, and recreated. It is also a ceremony in which we are pushed into the middle of a human situation that might hurt us, and that will not leave us untouched and unsullied. And the gathering of baptized people is therefore not a convention of those who are privileged, elite, and separate, but of those who've accepted what it means to be in the heart of a needy, contaminated, messy world. To put it another way, you don't go down into the waters of the Jordan without stirring up a great deal of mud. Shall we pray? Loving God, we thank you that we become a member of your family when we are baptized. Through your Holy Spirit, teach us to follow your Son's example as we seek to understand what difference baptism makes to our daily lives. In his name we pray. Amen. So, we're beginning our new sermon series, and it will run along, alongside the book we've chosen for our Lent course, this little book, Being Christian. Now, there's a box by Margaret on the pew there. We have plenty of books left. So please take one, they're £5, but also please take one. We just, if you'd like one, we'd like to follow through that. And also, Simon and I have recorded and read each of the chapters, as well as the sermons, as usual, but you can listen, audible style, to them as well. And like I said, we'll be preaching 4 sermons corresponding with the 4 chapters. We'll take a break for Mothering Sunday, and then the prayer and home groups will also be reading and discussing the book when they meet. So, 2, being Christian. This author, Rowan Williams, is the ex-Archbishop of Canterbury, as I'm sure many of you know. There's a little bio of him in the beginning of your booklet here. But as an interesting side note, I once attended a seminar he took at St. Melitus College in London. And I'm sure it's a really good seminar. I can't remember that much about it. But what I do remember is that his glasses, one arm of his glasses was broken, so this here, and he taped it together with a massive bundle of sticking plaster. He came across, so it's very spiritual, not in a pretentious way, but utterly unconcerned about his appearance. I think that was very refreshing in this age of media training and people taking constant selfies. So in Being Christian, Williams gives us a brief synopsis of what are considered the 4 foundational pillars of the Christian life. So we have baptism, Bible, Eucharist or communion, and prayer. So this then is a book. This is for those who are already believers. And what I think it offers, alongside hopefully our sermons, is the beginning of a much larger conversation. We can't possibly cover everything on each topic in a sermon. And that's why we hope the home groups or you by yourself can dig a bit deeper. So whether you are very knowledgeable in the Christian faith, or even if you haven't been a Christian for very long, I think that everyone will be enriched by considering these essentials, these fundamentals, if you like, of the Christian life. And I think we'll all have different experiences and understanding about how we use or feel about them. So I get to begin the series with something that is not the very beginning of our faith, but at least very close to the beginning of our coming to faith, and that's baptism. Now, baptism has been the focus of some big theological discussion, and not only nice theological chats over the years. Thousands of Anabaptists, they were those who thought that only believing adults should be baptized, were martyred by both Catholic and Protestant authorities during the 16th century. And whilst this is still a really important issue for some, we actually know a couple who wrote into their wills that any guardian of their children could not baptize them. They've had to make that decision as adults. That is not going to be the focus of what we're talking about today. And similarly, I guess that most of you sitting here will have been baptized, possibly mostly as infants. Those of us in the Church of England would have then been confirmed, a service where we affirm for ourselves the promises made on our behalf by our parents and godparents. The point being, we're not going to get bogged down in the how and the how old of the baptism question, but rather to assume, as Williams does, that baptism, with or in, fully submerged in water, is a symbol of our new life in Christ and of being formally brought into community with other believers, wherever they may be. So how do we approach this? It is a big topic. Even someone as erudite and learned as Williams only touches on a bit of it, but it is a really important part. Chiefly, what difference does it make to us? How does it impact our witness? How does it influence our faith if we are baptized? So I'm going to approach it in three ways. I'm going to look at the upward action of baptism, the inward action of baptism, and the outward, the one that Williams focuses on mainly, the outward action of baptism, using our scripture and some passages from his book. So if we start with the upward action of baptism, and I guess you realise what I mean by this, is in each of these actions, what is the primary thing that's happening? Who does it mostly apply to? And I think when we think about who is the originator of baptism and why are we obedient when we get baptised, and of course the really simple answer to that is God is. And our passage from Mark is a really good way to look at this upward actions, because we see God rending the sky as Jesus is baptised. If you remember, John has been preaching this baptism of repentance, and many hundreds have responded, people that did need to turn to God. But why does Jesus get this baptized? Obviously, he doesn't need to repent, and he doesn't really need human affirmation of who his dad is, yet he is obedient. Baptism is obviously important. He asks John to baptize him, and then he's confirmed as the beloved son as he rises out of the water and the Spirit descends. So what is it that's happening? Is it something magic that's making us Christian? Well, the scriptures are really clear that that isn't what baptism is. It isn't what makes us believers. Actually, Jesus was a believer before. That's what makes us believers is only our response to the undeserved grace of God, accepting our sinfulness and receiving his forgiveness. So we can't view baptism as a work, because we know we aren't justified by our works, not by anything we do or that our parents have done to us. But baptism is a sacrament. That means it's an outward sign of something that's going on inside us, an inward truth and hope. Our salvation is all God's initiative, and we don't complete it or add to it in baptism. Rather, in baptism, we respond to this undeserved work of God in our lives and in faith in the lives of our children. Now, I love it when I get to baptise babies here at St. Andrew's, because I do think that infant baptism is a near perfect embodiment of what it means to be a Christian. Because we accept and love and welcome these babies into the church who can't recite the Apostles' Creed, they don't help on our service list, they don't serve teas or coffees, they don't tithe their money, they don't sing in the choir, they don't talk about their faith to others. In fact, as active believers, they are failing on every account. But of course, it's exactly the same as us. Before we could do anything for God, serve him, you know, turn from our sins, witness or evangelise, even come to him without our hearts being softened, God loved us. And so there's nothing magical in that water that we fill our baptism and font with. And Simon and I are really clear to say to the families that come, it's just water we poured in. But there is something wonderful in this public celebration of the same work of God. And the whole Christian gospel, I think, is summed up in that point. That when the living God looks at us, when he looks at any baptized, believing Christian, he says to us what he said to Jesus that day in Jordan, when he came out of the river, "You are my dear, dear child, and I'm delighted with you." So secondly, what is the going on inside us when we're baptized. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to describe in our second reading this morning, read by Margaret. We've got these very dense opening verses of chapter 6 of his letter to the Romans. And let's be honest, most of Romans is very dense, closely kind of detailed argument. So I think it's easy to just try and summarise what Paul was saying. So briefly, Paul says, number one, as believers, we've died to sin, and therefore we shouldn't carry on sinning. Secondly, the way we die to sin is that our baptism unites us to Christ in his death. Three, having shared in Christ's death, God wants us also to share in his resurrection life. And four, our old selves were crucified, spiritually crucified with Christ, in order that we are no longer bound by our wrongdoing, by sin. So as far as Paul's concerned, there's some very logical effects of our baptism. They're not kind of optional extras. These are the changes that occur spiritually when we identify with Christ when we're baptized. It's the heart of the Christian understanding of the phrase, God in us. So not God then us, not us doing something and then God. It's not even God and us working as a team. It's God in us. That's a very Christian understanding of it. And from the beginning of our faith to the end, it is God in us through his Spirit. And that's through baptism that we share in that life. Now, the dying to sin bit, as Paul spoke about, that did confuse many now, as in the past, as in people generally say, well, if I'm baptized and I still sin, what's going on? Can a baptized person still sin? Now, I don't ask that particular question, and I hope perhaps you don't either, because I don't have to. I know the answer. We have just, in our service, come before God and repented of the wrong we've done this week. And I see my own failings, and I read in Scripture of this battle that believers have with sin. We're to resist it, we're told. And we will fail sometimes, but we can also be forgiven and restored. So yes, we have to be realists. The old world, our old selves, they continue to hold this remarkable grip over us. They're very persistent and stubborn. Rowan Williams writes about it like this. He says, when you sin as a baptized person, you're not stepping outside of the depths of God's love. Rather, it is as though you are deliberately ignoring the depths of all around you and then not letting the reality of the world's needs and the reality of God's love come through. With every pair of repentance, you let the baptismal depths well up around you and within you again. And so this leads us to our final action of baptism, and it's the very core, like I said, of William's book, of his chapter, the outward action of baptism. In other words, what does it mean for our relationships with people in the world? So I reread this a few times before writing this sermon. And William's a bit like Paul, it's a little bit looser, but he has this argument that you need to follow through. So again, to summarise it, William says, basically, in baptism, we've been restored to this full humanity that God wanted for all of us, that Jesus embodied. And he also sees the waters of baptism as kind of symbolising the watery chaos at the beginning of creation. And we're reborn out of it, sons and daughters of God. But just as Jesus came down into the mess, into the watery chaos, as baptised people, we share in that mission. Williams puts it like this. Where might you expect to find the baptised? One answer is in the neighbourhood of chaos. It means you expect to find Christian people near those places where humanity is most at risk. If being baptized has been led to where Jesus is, then being baptized has been led towards the chaos and the neediness of humanity. And what's really important is it means that we don't, as baptized people say, we feel kind of elite and superior, set apart. In fact, Williams argues that being baptized should give us this new level of solidarity with others. So we've got this kind of paradox. We've got this strange kind of two together, that when you're baptized, you're symbolically washed clean, but you're also washed clean to go right back into the heart of a messy, contaminated world. And Simon's got that great quote that we've just read now, and he's mentioned it before. You don't go down into the waters of the Jordan without stirring up a great deal of mud. So baptism not only brings us close to the Father, it not only brings us into a suffering muddle of the world, but it also brings us closer to other baptized Christians. This is the gift of the church. We're woven together so that what affects one affects us all. And we often do, let's be honest, find this hard to accept as a gift. And yet that's what it is. Williams again. It means that the darkness, that stress and temptation that we all struggle with, is not just my own problem. It's shared. How it is shared is very mysterious. And yet most of us who are baptized Christians can witness that it works in one way or another. And I think that's really true. And it's true here in St. Andrew's that we share each other's joys and our burdens. So, to conclude, the first chapter in our Lent book by Rowan Williams and the starting point of our lives as Christian is our baptism. I think baptism can be explored in three different ways: through the upward action of God, it's initiated, it's completed by Him, our invisible union with Christ by faith as it is seen and celebrated through baptism. There's an inward action. Our faith means God in us. And through baptism, we are united with Christ in His death and share in the power of His risen life. We can resist sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, there is an outward action of baptism. It's not a private little thing that we do or even just share with our friends. It's a gateway to a deeper solidarity with messy, fallen humanity. Just as Jesus did on earth, we should be found in places of hurt and chaos. And yet we remember that we're always held and sustained by the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship and prayers of baptized Christians all over the world. So I think we really hope that you enjoy reading this little book or listening to the chapter if you prefer to access it that way. And if you're in a group that's discussing it, really hope it leads to some interesting conversations, because I think we'd both be really interested to know what we think about it. Amen.